It is 8:22. I'm Paul Harris filling in for McGraw and joined now by Peggy Venable. Peggy is one of the people who was opposed to President Obama's speech to school children today. She was once the White House liaison to the Department of Education under President Reagan and is now the Texas Director of Americans for Prosperity, a group that also had been causing some trouble at some town halls earlier in the month when the members of Congress had gone home. Peggy, welcome to the Big 550 KTRS.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me, Paul.
So you didn't want the president to speak today, and in fact, you wrote a column, which I see on the AFP website this morning, that says, "Keep politics out of the classroom," in which you say it's a first, the first time a U.S. president has asked to be invited into classrooms to speak directly to children. But didn't your boss, Ronald Reagan, speak to children back in 1988?
You know, he did. He spoke to children. It was at a time when it was on C-SPAN. It wasn't going to be broadcast on the Internet. And his message was, say no to drugs. We knew what the message was going to be. And he also answered their questions. I think that also this was the second term. I mean, this was near the end of his administration. The American public, I think, had a much greater comfort level with that president and with what he might say.
So you had no problem with a president talking to school children then because it was a guy who you were working for and whose agenda you agreed with.
Well, it's easy to say that. I think that it's really more than that. If you look at what's been going on across the country with his town hall meetings, people are appropriately outraged, upset, concerned about what's going on in public policy. This is, mind you, on the heels of the president having gone to churches across the country, asking church leaders to help him pass a government takeover of our health care plan. I think parents and taxpayers had every reason to be concerned about what he was going to say. I think he appropriately responded and put it online, and though we were on heightened alert, I think this is certainly a victory that he paid attention and that the speech is not going to be one that appears to try to push any political agenda.
Well, that's an interesting way to spin it. Even though you knew nothing about what the speech was actually going to be, you were kind
of...
I did
know what the lesson plans were. I think we had an opportunity to look at those lesson plans right there on the U.S. Department of Education website. We certainly, when President Reagan spoke, didn't have any lesson plans on the U.S. Department of Education website.
Because there was no such thing as a website at the time. There was no such thing as a website in 1988, or when George W. Bush gave a speech in 1991, or when other presidents have given other speeches, there was no such thing as a website. Now there is, and the one thing you objected to was that children were being asked to write a letter to themselves about how they could help the president. What's
That's
wrong
right.
with that?
Well, I think it depends on what the president asks.
And you didn't know what the president was going to ask, did you?
No, we did not. And I think, like I said, we're on heightened alert with good reason. I think it is appropriate that we were concerned. I think now that we have read the speech, I have said that I don't find it offensive, and I don't have a problem with the president making that speech to school children today. I think it's up to parents and teachers to determine whether or not they want that time, the time to be used in that manner in their classrooms.
But wasn't your heightened alert simply because you don't like this president and you don't like his agenda, and so any opportunity to attack him is something you're going to jump at?
You know, I think you're making an assumption. I don't like this president. The fact is, I actually do like him. I disagree with his policies. I have great concern over some of the policies that he is pushing. And I think we have every reason to be vigilant and make sure that they aren't using classrooms in order to push that agenda.
Well, you're the one who's making an assumption, and you and other Republicans like Jim Greer of Florida, the Florida GOP director, who himself, by the way, had given speeches in classrooms with a blatant political agenda behind it. You both had come out and made assumptions about what the president was going to say before you even knew what he was going to say.
Based on the lesson plans that were up on the Department of Education website.
And what was it in that lesson plan that told you what the president was going to say in his speech?
Nothing told us what he was going to say, and that's why we had reason for concern. What was he going to say? Like I said, he had just been
wait
to the
second,
churches
Peggy. Wait,
hold
on, Peggy. You and Jim Greer and others were going around the country and on cable talk shows last week raising the red flag that he was going to indoctrinate people with a socialist agenda. That's a direct quote from what Jim Greer was saying. What
I'm
was
not
it?
Jim Greer.
I know, but what was it that you and other Republican activists were so worried about without even knowing what the speech was going to be? Weren't you making assumptions based on no actual information?
Paul, number one, you're making an assumption. You're calling me a Republican activist. I am not right now a Republican activist. I am a citizen activist, and I'm promoting an agenda that is a pro-America agenda.
But what was it about?
I have every reason to have concern about what he was going to say, and I think the White House reacted appropriately by putting his speech online and laying our fears to rest, whether they were going to be political or not. I anticipate he will stick with the teleprompter, and this is not a political speech. Though he does say, I, 41 times in this speech. It is very much a presidential-centered speech. I don't find it terribly inspiring, but again, I don't find it offensive.
Okay, offensive or not, my point here is that you were making assumptions last week about what the speech was going to be without knowing what its content was going to be based on the lesson plan, which the lesson plan itself told you what that you opposed. That's what I'm trying to dig to here.
The
what was it in the lesson
what
plan?
What can you do to support the president?
Okay.
Now, this is also on the heels of a video that was just shown in a number of classrooms, which had Hollywood stars saying that they would supported the president and his policies, and one said that he would even serve the president. Actually, the president is there to serve the American public. We have every reason to say we want to see what the president is going to say before it is piped directly into classrooms.
Peggy,
and he appropriately responded and allowed us to do that.
Peggy, if those same things had been said 2 years ago, if President Bush wanted to give a similar speech, and by the way, I read the text of Obama's speech, President Reagan could have given the exact same speech. If it had happened under a Republican president...
President Reagan would not have given that exact same speech. President Reagan would have given a more inspiring speech, number one. And 2 years ago, if President Bush had asked to speak to the classrooms, depending on what he was going to say, I think there would have been a number of people who would have been concerned.
But you would not
it.
Have been among them?
Probably not.
Why?
Because I had a better understanding of just what his policies were, whether I agreed with them or not. And a number of them I did not agree with. I also did not believe that he was trying to push through, ram down our throats, a change of one-sixth of the economy, the healthcare system, in a very short time.
None of which
he
had anything to do with education.
Doing that.
None of which had anything to do with education or the speech.
We didn't know that, did we?
But you assumed.
Did you assume that he would go to the churches and ask church leaders to help him pass his government-run health care plan?
My point here, Peggy, is that you made assumptions about what the speech was going to be, assumptions that have now not borne fruit.
We're glad whether the president changed the speech or this was the speech. I'm glad it wasn't a political speech. And you bet we made assumptions because we had to. We didn't have the facts. And we do now.
All right, Peggy, thanks for calling. I appreciate your time this morning. Peggy Venable, who's now the Texas Director of Americans for Prosperity and former White House liaison to the Department of Education under Ronald Reagan. And by the way, First Lady Barbara Bush says no problem with the president talking to school kids. Newt Gingrich has repudiated the indoctrination claims. And Jim Greer, that Florida GOP chairman, has said, yeah, he's going to let his own kids watch this. This was ginned up controversy by a bunch of Obama haters across the country who now should, frankly, just be embarrassed. It's 8:30 at the Big 550 KTRS.
McGraw in the Morning continues on the Big 550 KTRS.
Paul Harris filling in for McGraw. I've got knuckleheads in the news coming up, and John Rooney talks Cardinal baseball in a few minutes. Later on, Alex Jones, author of a new book called Losing the News, The Future of the News That Feeds Democracy. And I'm still laughing about Peggy Venable, who was my guest a few minutes ago, being upset that I called her a Republican activist. Paul, you're assuming that I'm a Republican activist. Well, you're the Texas director of Americans for Prosperity, which is a Republican activist group. I mean, go to their website and take a look at it and tell me if that isn't essentially the GOP activist agenda that they're pushing, and you're the Texas director of that group. You know, it's not like you're just a mom who's concerned about her kids. I want to read to you a little piece of what President Obama is going to say to the kids today, and you tell me how horrible the agenda is here. He says, I've talked a lot about responsibility. I've talked about your teacher's responsibility for inspiring you and pushing you to learn. I've talked about your parents' responsibility for making sure that you stay on track and get your homework done and don't spend every waking hour in front of the TV or with that Xbox. I've talked a lot about your government's responsibility for setting high standards and supporting teachers and principals and turning around schools that aren't working, where students aren't getting the opportunities they deserve. But at the end of the day, we can have the most dedicated teachers, the most supportive parents, and the best schools in the world, and none of it will matter unless all of you fulfill your responsibilities. Unless you show up to these schools, pay attention to those teachers, listen to your parents, grandparents, and other adults, and put in the hard work it takes to succeed. And that's what I want to focus on today, the responsibility each of you has for your education. I want to start with the responsibility you have to yourself. Every single one of you has something you're good at. Every single one of you has something to offer. And you have a responsibility to yourself to discover what that is. That's the opportunity an education can provide. Maybe you could be a good writer, maybe even good enough to write a book or articles in a newspaper, but you might not know it until you write a paper for your English class. Maybe you could be an innovator or an inventor, maybe even good enough to come up with the next iPod or a new medicine or vaccine, but you might not know it until you do a project for your science class. Maybe you could be a mayor or a senator or a Supreme Court justice, but you might not know that until you join student government or the debate team. And no matter what you want to do with your life, I guarantee that you'll need an education to do it. You want to be a doctor or a teacher or a police officer? You want to be a nurse or an architect, a lawyer, or a member of our military? You're going to need a good education for every single one of those careers. You can't drop out of school and just drop into a good job. You've got to work for it and train for it and learn for it. And this isn't just important for your own life and your own future. What you make of your education will decide nothing less than the future of this country. What you're learning in school today will determine whether we as a nation can meet our greatest challenges in the future. You'll need the knowledge and problem-solving skills you learn in science and math to cure diseases like cancer and AIDS, and to develop new energy technologies and protect our environment. You'll need the insights and critical thinking skills you gain in history and social studies to fight poverty and homelessness, crime and discrimination, and make our nation more fair and more free. You'll need the creativity and ingenuity you develop in all your classes to build new companies that will create new jobs and boost our economy. We need every single one of you to develop your talents, skills, and intellect so you can help solve our most difficult problems. If you don't do that, if you quit on school, you're not just quitting on yourself, you're quitting on your country. Now, that's maybe a quarter of what President Obama is going to say to school kids today. Tell me that President Reagan couldn't have said those exact same words 25 years ago when he was in office. It's a pretty inspiring speech. I've read the entire thing here. And anybody who can read that speech and not say, yeah, that's a good message to send to kids, I think is completely nuts. And by the way, when Peggy Venable says we didn't know what he was going to say, this is essentially the same speech he gave to the NAACP when it came to inspiring school kids then. And also, by the way, the same sort of thing Bill Cosby's been saying on the stump for the last few years. Trying to get kids in this country who don't finish school, and we've got a huge dropout problem in this country. In some cities, the dropout rate is as high as 30%. I wouldn't say the president needs to inspire just one kid for the speech to be a success. He needs to inspire a lot of kids for the speech to be a success. But for those who made assumptions about what he was going to talk about and indoctrination and his agenda and all that sort of stuff, this is the sort of thing you want to indoctrinate kids with. This is the agenda you want to give kids as they go forward. There is nothing in this speech that's Democrat or Republican, liberal or conservative. All there is a ginned-up controversy all around it. It's 844, the Big 550 KTRS.